Hi everyone, my name is Gabriel and this is the Hour of the Raven, your channel for everything Ravenloft, RPG, Dungeons & Dragons and horror. Today, we will review the past and secrets of the Hive Queen, the monstrosity that rules the Merkit horrors in the depths of Timor. But first, a few clarifications. Before we start to explore the Xerishan Cluster and the domain of Timor, most of our explorations through the mist took place in the core of Ravenloft, and passed through domains that had already been covered in novels, adventures, and mainly in the Ravenloft Gazetteers, books that provide detailed information about the domains and their Dark Lords. I have always been careful to present Ravenloft in my videos, taking into account official sources. However, in the case of Timor, and other areas not previously covered by Ravenloft Gazetteers, I intend to expand these sources of information. Timor first appeared in the book Islands of Terror, which presented the domain not only as the present underground version, but also with a huge and beautiful metropolis that covered it. In the Grand Conjunction, the domain was merged with Peridon in the Xerishan Cluster, but it didn't receive much attention after that. It was mentioned in the book Domains of Dread, but had more details described in the adventure published on the internet on the Secrets of the Khagatayn website, called Shadows of the Knife. In the third edition, Timor received a mention in the main setting book, but the domain was not covered in one of the published gazetteers. The Ravenloft fan community wasn't going to let the setting rot into oblivion. The Fraternity of Shadows website, the most well-known and organized fan site of Ravenloft, has published netbooks that continue the Gazetteer's proposal, exploring in-depth the domains of Dread. One such Gazetteer, published by the Fraternity of Shadows, addresses the Xerishan Cluster. In the video description, I will also leave the link where you can download the netbook. The next video about Timor will be based on the official material, The Shadow of the Knife Adventurer and the Xerishan Gazetteer, written by the Fraternity of Shadows. Are you ready? Lost in the tunnels of Timor, we are captured by the Calibans who inhabit the community of the Enclave, and we negotiate our lives and means of escaping to the surface, in exchange for a dangerous mission. We set out in search of Nevin's grimoire, which they believe to contain important revelations of the path of the true form. In the depths of Timor, we find Nevin's mausoleum, but our presence awakens the undead from his tomb. The ancient dead body is withered and dry, covered in paper-thin skin and some mortuary ornaments. He demands to know why we broke into his prison, and upon discovering our purpose, he seems amused by the madness of our intent. With a sinister laugh, he decides to reveal to us the tragedy and humiliation of the Merkit Hive Queen, whom he disgraced and cursed with his powerful magic.
Hour
Come, creatures of the surface, behold your true queen. Open your eyes to contemplate me before I tear your eyelids to feed my merikids. It's been a while since I've seen your kind in the depths. You will keep me company in the darkness for a brief time, until I feast on your fear and despair.
The Hive Queen is the Dark Lord of Timor, a monstrous aberration who was once a beautiful and evil princess. The character of the Hive Queen adapts the theme of body horror and psychological horror, and can draw inspiration from movies as The Fly, as the alien queen from the movie Aliens, and also the subterranean creatures from the film Mimic, which insectoid monsters inhabit the sewers and emulate sounds they heard to attract their prey. She is a Merkit, an aberration that haunts the depths, preying on the fear and flesh of their victims. The Hive Queen has a swollen, spidery body, covering a dark, tenuous layer, with numerous legs and an immense stinger. A female torso with four arms emerged from its segmented body. The silhouette of this torso is that of a beautiful woman in her early 20s, with long black hair, often covered in dirt and filth. As if the four arms didn't already give it an inhuman appearance, huge fangs emerge from her mouth, and its eyes have a sinister red glow. Despite her bestial appearance, the Hive Queen is intelligent and cunning, and craves the company of other intelligent creatures. She is vain and is horrified by her monstrous form, but believes that Merikids are more powerful and superior to humanity. The Queen is an aberration over 10 feet tall and a formidable opponent in combat. She has extraordinary strength and can make multiple attacks with her arms and claws. When she manages to grab her enemies in her arms, she can bite with her fangs, which contain a lethal poison. In addition to her poisonous fang, she also has a poisonous stinger that has a toxin that leaves people in a catatonic state for up to a week. Victims of this poison also discover throughout this period that their skin begins to be covered with a strange dark layer as they transform into a Merikid monstrosity. Although she is a powerful opponent in combat, she rarely puts herself at risk, preferring to command the legions of Merikids that infest the depths. She is able to telepathically communicate and command the members of the Hive, and if she is in danger, she will summon all of her servants to her defense, ensuring a means of escaping her enemies, while they are buried by murderous monstrosities. In addition to her telepathic gifts, she is also able of deceiving her enemies, being able to mimic any type of sound she has previously heard. The Queen is cursed for her loneliness and hideous appearance. Once a beautiful human princess, she is terrified of a new monstrous form. She also longs to converse with other intelligent creatures, but in the depths of Timur, the silent Merikid are all she finds for company. The horror of her existence cannot overcome her absolute hunger for power and control, and she obsessively tries to control every aspect of her colony and her domain. One of her greatest fears is that one day she will be supplanted from her throne, just as she one day supplanted her mother, Queen Orenia, to become the Dark Lord of Timur. When the Hive Queen decides to close the borders of her domain, she managed to fill the tunnel passages with stinky and harmful gas, which can poison and paralyze her victims. Rumors say that she is also capable of confusing the orientation of explorers, causing all paths to lead to her lair in the depths. But what horrors lurks in the Hive Queen's past? What cruel crimes turned the beautiful princess of Timur into this monstrous aberration? To understand the fall and transformation of the Hive Queen, we must first understand the crimes committed by the Dark Lord who preceded her, the obsessed Queen Orenia. Queen Orenia ruled the Kingdom of Timur alone after she became a widow. She was obsessed with marking her name in history. A lover of art and beauty, she decided that her legacy to history would be the construction of the most magnificent and splendid city ever created, a stunning metropolis that would become the capital of her kingdom. Using her absolute powers as ruler of Timur, she chose a beautiful location as the place of her future capital, where the ruins of an ancient city existed. To secure resources for her grandiose project, the queen implemented a heavy taxation regime on her people, making everyone's life more difficult and unfair. The commoners of Timur were driven to a life of misery, and even the kingdom's nobles were drained of their resources in compulsory contributions to this grand project. nothing would take her away from her vision and dream. The construction of the city began around the year 600 of the Barovian calendar and marks the final period of the queen's pregnancy. She gave birth to a girl, whom historical records only call the princess. The birth of this child is surrounded by mysteries, as the former king had already died many years ago and there is no record of her paternity. Some speculate that the princess had the same name of her mother and that she is called the princess to avoid conflict and confusion in the records. The location chosen by the queen to build her city was perfect and surrounded by great beauty, but it was also surrounded by mystery. No one knew what happened to the population that had lived here in the past, or why no one had tried to reoccupy the ruins again. As soon as construction began, some workers began to disappear, and their bodies were found grotesquely mutilated and devoured. The location chosen for the construction of the city was over ancient tunnels that housed a colony of Merikids, dangerous predators of this world. Many workers protested the precarious working conditions and exhausting hours required by the queen. With a growing wave of deaths and disappearances, workers soon began to abandon the site, and the queen's ambitious plans were threatened. To the obsessed Queen Urania, the life and torments of their workers mattered little, but she was unwilling to admit any delay or change in her plans. The queen spent her resources to hire a group of powerful mercenaries who formed the Order of the Royal Merikid Hunters. This armored group was supposed to dedicate itself to hunting these monstrosities, but they were involved both in controlling the monsters and in repressing the mass of workers who threatened to revolt. The repression of monsters and the population was working, but it became even more efficient when the queen requested the service of Nevin, the court wizard. This powerful illusionist became a great ally of the queen, and together they used cruel tactics to control the population. Nevin used his illusions to create Merikid monstrosities. These illusory monsters began attacking selected targets, and soon the main leaders of the rebel workers were dead. The workers increasingly turned to the protection and control of the royal Merikid hunters, accepting their oppressive domination in exchange for protection. While the kingdom's workers were kept in line, the queen bankrupted her kingdom. Her expense for the construction of her magnificent city were exorbitant, and her fees and taxes for the realization of her dream strangled the nation. While great architects and engineers arrived at the construction site with luxurious materials and artists, its people lived in poverty, and noble families were led to financial ruin. The political environment and stability of her kingdom seemed to crumble as a great metropolis was built. The queen became increasingly obsessed with her project and ignored the pleas of her advisors. Her opponents who visited the city under construction sometimes found tragic deaths in unfortunate accidents with Merikid monsters, most of the time illusory monsters created by Nevin to justify their assassinations. Despite ensuring her reign and objectives based on the strength and fear she imposed on her subjects, Queen Urania began to develop a great phobia and paranoia, having uncontrollable fear of Merikids. Even though she knew that most of the creatures' attacks on the city were nothing more than illusions created by Nevin, she feared that one day the real monsters would come after her, or that her deception would be discovered. The princess grew up far from her mother's attention and did not develop any kind of affection for her. She turned into a beautiful woman and was also intelligent and manipulative, a skilled player in the dangerous games of court intrigue. She longed for her mother's power and believed that her administration and obsession with the construction of the city of Timur would still be the ruin of the kingdom, and a threat to the power that would one day be hers. Secretly, she spread harsh criticism of Orania's reign among dissident circles dissatisfied with her administration. After more than 20 years of extreme sacrifices, the painful task of building the city of Timor was finally completed. A large number of workers already lived in the city, and many nobles, merchants, and commoners came from different parts of the kingdom for the inauguration of this majestic metropolis, which was attended by more than 30,000 people. The city was a wonder that dazzled everyone who visited it. Its refined architecture, its large parks, gardens, palaces, murals, frescoes, and sculptures made every detail worthy of admiration and contemplation. Magical lights illuminated its streets at night, and beautiful gardens with exotic plants decorated its parks. A great festival was held to commemorate the glorious constructions of the city. During these festivities, however, a strange fog invaded the city, isolating the city from the rest of the Kingdom of Timor. This supernatural effect left the population of Timor, who lived in fear and oppression from the guards, in a state of absolute panic. The drastic situation of the city, with such a large population isolated from the rest of the kingdom, was made even more unsustainable by the queen's attitude. When her leadership would be most needed, she became reclusive and fearful, with a great phobia that the Merikids of the Deep would one day come to claim her life. The princess feared that her mother's behavior would jeopardize her future reign. She had as a lover a nobleman who was the captain of the Royal Merikid Hunters, and ensured the loyalty of these troops through her seduction. It was through him that she discovered the reason for Queen Orania's fears. On several occasions, she had already demonstrated to the soldiers her absolute fear of the monsters. The princess developed a cruel, murderous plan, hoping to realize her mother's greatest fear. To achieve her plans, the princess approached Nevin, the court wizard, and her mother's main ally in controlling Timor. Using her intelligence, beauty, and manipulation, she seduced Nevin. The wizard was in love with the beautiful princess, and she then suggested a plan to assassinate Queen Orania, so that they would rule Timor together. Soon, a grand royal ball would be organized, bringing together all the nobility to celebrate the inauguration of Timor's luxurious royal palace. Nevin should then cast an illusion on the princess, temporarily transforming her into a hideous Merikid hive queen. The proximity to her greatest fear would lead Queen Orania to a horrible death, and she would then take the throne. The plan was agreed between the lovers and conspirators, who prepared themselves for the day of the betrayal. However, Nevin was not as innocent as the princess believed. For some time, he watched the princess' footsteps and discovered that he was in fact just a pawn in her plans. Nevin witnessed the princess seeking again her true lover, the noble captain of the Royal Merikid Hunters. Humiliated and overcome with anger, he decided he would teach the treacherous and ambitious princess a lesson. When the day of the big event arrived, the queen welcomed her subjects to the festivities. At the height of the event, the princess stood up and gave a speech in honor of her mother, honoring her for the construction of the magnificent city of Timor. After her speech, Nevin cast a spell on the princess, which transformed her into a hideous creature with an arachnid body and a human torso with four arms. Her monstrous appearance was that of a Merikid hive queen, and the mere glimpse of this monstrosity caused Queen Orania to die instantly, overcome with absolute terror. Chaos spread throughout the hall as the nobles fled the scene in panic. At this point, Nevin declared to the princess that her transformation was not a mere illusion, and would never be reversed.
Now, she was as hideous in the outside as she was inside. To the prince's horror, her monstrous form was permanent, and in a rage, she attacked and murdered the treacherous wizard Nevin with her insectoid claws and venom. The princess was now the Hive Queen and was filled with uncontrollable rage. She began murdering everyone who stood in her way. Soon, the Royal Merkit Hunters were gathered to combat the creature, and a great battle began. The brave hunters managed to wound the monstrosity, but it left many bodies in its wake. Wounded, the Hive Queen managed to reach the depths, where she took refuge in the depths of the Merkit's lair. In the darkness and filth, the Hive Queen recovered from her injuries, and discovered that she had somehow achieved the power she had always desired. The hideous and silent Merkits were now her obedient servants, and she felt the great power and connection to the domain of Timor, having become its new Dark Lord. While the Queen adapted to the darkness of the depths, the city of Timor underwent a period of great chaos. The long-suppressed workers rebelled, and the glorious mist-shrouded city was threatened by violence and destruction. While all this was happening, Nevin's curse, which transformed the princess into a monstrosity, began to transform all of Timor. Those who intimidated or manipulated others by fear suffered the Timor twisting and turned into doppelgangers if they were subtle and intelligent in their threats, or Merkits if they were brutish and violent. The city was slowly trying to reorganize itself, while part of its large population was transformed into monsters. To save the city and restore order, urgent elections were held to elect a council of administrators. The first and most important advisor was Hamlest, with an aggressive proposal that blamed the mages for the city's current situation. Hamlest was one of the doppelgangers, and this skilled politician and manipulator fulfilled his promise by carrying out a purge against the city's wizards. Material components, grimoires, and scrolls were confiscated by the council, and those who might have had a mystical knowledge to identify and combat the monsters now infiltrating the city were prevented from acting. This climate of terror and hatred seemed to have instilled distrust and paranoia in Timor. During this period, sinister reports pointed to a considerable increase in mysterious murders. Some rumors suggest that these killers could assume other people's identities to find victims and escape justice, and fear spread throughout the city. The situation would become even worse when Merkit's monsters returned in large numbers to attack the surface. Some people were found dead and mutilated in their own homes, and nowhere seemed safe. From the depths of the underground, the Hive Queen established her control and feasted on the climate of fear and terror installed in Timor. As a Merkit and a Dark Lord, she fed on this state of terror, and in her quest for control and power, she manipulated events to achieve her goals. The brutal murders caused the population to demand a solution from the council, and the renowned Royal Merkit Hunters were summoned to descend into the depths and exterminate these monsters once and for all. These hunters crossed the city towards the sewers like heroes, armored and prepared for battle. However, the Hive Queen was prepared for her enemies. Coordinating her servants, she massacred the royal hunters, making their screams echo throughout the city coming from the sewers, in what became known as the Night of the Running Screams. In the ensuing panic, the city council adopted emergency measures to protect the population, and in this state of emergency, Councillor Helmless gained unrestricted powers to try to control the crisis. Now the doppelganger secret controlled the city, while the Hive Queen guided the monstrosities from the depths. This conflict, however, only served to increase the Queen's power and control. The period that followed was called the Dark Decades. The number of brutal murders committed by the Merkits continued to increase, as did the fear and paranoia among the population, who feared mysterious killers capable of changing their faces. The original population of 30,000 inhabitants suffered drastic reductions, and survivors isolated themselves in small groups of trusted people and family members. Unable to eliminate the threat of the Merikids, the city council decided to live with the threat by making offerings to the monster, and from time to time a macabre lottery was held to choose the citizens who would be sacrificed. This macabre lottery could be postponed, however, if foreigners came from the mists and could be offered in place of the population. Access to the sewers was prohibited, as hunting and killing the Merikids generally resulted in brutal reprisals and hunts by these monstrosities. All of these tragedies led to a huge population drop, and the glorious city was now practically empty, with only 5,000 inhabitants living in its empty streets and abandoned buildings. On the other hand, the population of Merikid monsters proliferated in the Hive. For 120 years, the Hive Queen established and consolidated her reign of terror in Timur, absorbing the flesh and fear of its inhabitants. She compensated her shame over her appearance and loneliness with an obsessive quest for power and control, and over time came to view the Merikids as a superior race. Despite her isolation, however, she did not allow eggs for other Merikid queens to hatch. Unable to control the number or type of eggs she expels, she always destroyed the new queen's eggs. Even though another intelligent Hive Queen could be the solution to her loneliness, she feared that her child could destroy her, as she did to her mother, and could not tolerate sharing the power she had conquered. The situation in the city of Timur was heading towards catastrophe around 740 of the Barovian calendar, when attack of Merikids seemed more frequent, and when the municipal council was losing its authority, with rebel groups and insurgents uniting against the arbitrary laws and sacrifices. The arrival of the Grand Conjunction brought an even greater tragedy to the city. A terrible earthquake severely shook Timur. The tremor opened a fissure in the earth that drained the river that ran through the city. While many of its majestic buildings crumbled, an entire portion of the city's riverbanks slid into the depths, being swallowed by the bowels of the earth. The Hive Queen felt her dominion and control shaken, as her mother's glorious city was swallowed into the depths. Between the nest and the hive were now buried the ancient tombs and ruins of Timur, but above these tunnels were now a new part of their domain, a different sewer that connected their lands to another metropolis, the city of Paridon. The royal tombs that sank near the hive also held surprises. The Merikids soon discovered Nevin's eternal prison, whose mausoleum was guarded by mystical symbols. The queen could not think of a greater torment for the wizard than an eternity in this prison, and left him to his own suffering. She also discovered that the spirit of her mother haunted her royal tomb, and had become a frustrated ghost, forgotten by history in the ruins of her obsessed dream. An element that intrigues and irritates the Hive Queen is the presence of Timorous Remnants who inhabit the Enclave. Her Merikids are unable to find this community, and their presence is a stain on her plans for absolute control. What most intrigued the Hive Queen, however, was the city above, a large metropolis, but one that was far from her reach. Her Merikids sometimes hunted on the surface of these lands, and little by little, they revealed the secrets of the surface to the Queen. To gain access to the secrets of the city above, she has used some individuals who, when exploring her tunnels, commit evil acts. When their transformation into Merikids begins, she invades their minds, driving these poor creatures crazy or intimidating them. Those who accept to become her servants have their transformation temporarily paralyzed and become her agents on the surface. Her obsession with control and power made the city of Peridon her new goal. She aims to transform the city above into a metropolis under her control, dominated by fear, as was the city of Timor. The attacks of her Merikids have not been enough to establish her reign of terror, and she has encountered difficulties in her advances, which are supplanted by the doppelgangers and their master Soldo. The queen also began to hear a call from an artifact of great power and malignancy. Through her spy, she discovered the Fang of Nosferatu, a powerful dagger used by Soldo to gain power. We will discover more about the origins and powers of this mysterious artifact in the future, but the truth is that during Bloody Jack's last murder cycle, her Merikids stole the dagger for their queen. She almost achieved her great objective, but a group of adventurers recovered the Fang of Nosferatu from the depths of Timor and thwarted her plans. Her defeat only made her more obsessed with the city of Peridon, but now she has other concerns. She has been having constant dreams and visions about another Hive Queen, and begins to suspect that her position is threatened. The Hive Queen was about to destroy a queen egg at the time the great earthquake shook Timor during the Grand Conjunction, and in the chaos and confusion that followed, the egg was lost to the depths. The egg hatched into a new Hive Queen, who grew to become an adversary. From the shadows, she begins to control the minds of some Merikids, and soon, conflict will unfold in the depths of Timor. Nevin tells us with sickening pleasure about the prince's downfall and humiliation, and he speaks with satisfaction of his role in cursing and condemning his enemy. The prospect that the Enclave regard his spells as sacred texts amuses him, and he is willing to see how the unholy arcane knowledge of his spells will reverberate among the fanatical Calibans. More than that, he still wants to weaken and defeat the queen, and it's buried in his tomb and prison. Giving us some parchments to take to the Enclave, he allows us to leave his tomb alive, and uses powerful illusion magic to deceive the Merikids and guarantee our safe return to the Enclave. Our arrival surprises the Enclave, as does the success of our venture. They keep their word, and one of them guides us through the narrow sewer tunnels to an exit to the surface, and we emerge in the alley of the new and bustling city of Peridon. Join us, turn on notification, and let's explore the domain of Peridon. But first, concluding the coverage of the channel's previously featured 5th edition domains of Dread, we'll take a brief visit to Kartakas, as presented in the Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft.